We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Jeremy Cherney. Jeremy is a techno nerd and entrepreneur. He loves business, educating people on the possibilities of computers, building teams, and creating leaders. So obviously, he started an IT services company. As president and CEO of Tobin Solutions, Jeremy drives its mission of providing a better technology experience to business customers, giving them better IT service, better IT strategies, and solutions for better business outcomes. Tobin Solutions was named Milwaukee's Best Places to Work. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Wow, lots of betters.
Yeah, I know,
right? Just I like that, the though. Bar. Yeah, there's nothing, right? You can never, who's going to be best?
Yeah, exactly.
But you were recently given an award for best.
I know.
Milwaukee's Best Places to Work. How'd you do that?
You know, I got some advice once in running a business, and they said that my number one job as the business owner and leader is to build the team. And so I looked for, like, how could I actually measure that? And had the idea that I think right around the same time I was thinking about that, something came across, you know, in Business Journal or something like that about best places to work. And I thought, oh, you know, if you're going to win best places to work, you probably have to have a pretty great team. Mm-hmm. So I actually made that our vision was to win an award for Milwaukee's best places to work.
Interesting.
And then
okay.
a little bit after that, we actually won.
You made it a goal.
Yeah.
It happened.
And then you were able to go on and see what's required and what there is to do. And a lot of times, what there is to do is just build the team and have them engaged and build transparency into the company and just have a great workplace.
So you mentioned you were measuring that. How do you measure that you have a strong team?
There's questions in the Best Places to Work survey.
Okay.
And you can actually see what the questions are. And then people, they rank it, you know, like kind of like a 1 to 10. How are they on this? And you can take it and get your results. And then just based on what the questions are there, you can look and say, okay, well, here's a question. How might they respond? What can we do to move the bar on that? Make it better.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So as a techno nerd, as you've claimed
your
title to be.
Proud badge.
You know, security is important to a lot of people. And obviously in the media, there's a lot of discussion around social media and security. Should we be concerned about social media security?
Yeah, you know, like concern, like not lose a lot of sleep over it, but concern, like put some attention on it.
Okay.
You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, most people have a number of social media accounts, and sometimes they'll do some basic errors in security, like they'll reuse the password among different accounts. And if one of those accounts gets hacked, then they have access to the other things. Sometimes, you know, if you go on to some new application, they'll actually use your social media account as credentials to log in, even if it's not really related to that.
Mm-hmm.
So they may say, hey, log in with your Facebook account. And so
sure.
if you don't have a good password there, you're not maintaining the security around that, you know, obviously then that could get compromised and cause issues elsewhere. And, you know, there's reputation. You know, if someone actually does go on and do something, and we've probably all seen that from a friend or family member or colleague where you start getting emails, don't believe anything you see on my Facebook.
Yep.
I got hacked, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, it's something you just want to be aware of.
So as far as reusing passwords, do you have any tips or best practices around creating passwords for our listeners?
Yeah. So the longer, the better. You definitely want longer passwords. You want to, if you can, use a good password manager like LastPass or Dashlane. There's some good ones out there where they'll actually help you generate long passwords and store them so that you can remember them. And then just definitely don't reuse them across accounts. That's one of the pitfalls. You know, maybe you log in today on some site and 2 years later that site is compromised and the passwords are revealed. And there's actually websites you can go to whether you can just search on your email address and they'll tell you which public breaches you've been a victim of.
Oh, wow.
And if you have a password on there and you're still using that password somewhere else, people can get that password and then obviously go use it. And we've had some clients that have fallen victim to that, you know, and it's takes something to get it cleaned up. And sometimes there's a financial issue they're dealing with as a result of it.
We've seen it in the news.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's quite, it's a different world we're living in now.
It really is. Yeah, and plus people are logging in from so many different devices, phones, tablets, multiple computers.
Yes.
There's a lot to keep secure.
I can't tell you how many times I log in when I'm teaching at UWM and someone else's email or Facebook account is active already.
Yeah, exactly.
It blows my mind.
You're quite the hacker. You just could have gone right in and changed something
for
them.
No,
right?
I always log out for them, but I just want to like have a public service announcement to always log out.
Yeah, everything. That's a great tip. Absolutely.
Really good advice, too, with the longer the passwords. And LastPass, I'm familiar with. I've not heard of Dashlane before.
Yeah, I've never actually used that one, but I know that's another popular one.
Okay.
You know, like anything with software or technology, there's a few good options out there. And just pick one of those good ones that works for you.
Makes sense.
So
business in general, you've been very successful. You've got a great team.
Yeah.
Yep. What are the keys? What are your keys to success in business?
So, you know, I've been in business for over 20 years, and so you learn a bit as you go through it. And one of the things I really got is, you know, be coachable.
Okay.
I don't have all the answers. And just listen to other people, you know, use other experts, don't reinvent the wheel on things, and just persist through the failures. Not like I'm a failure, but just I tried something, didn't work. So that didn't work. So try something else and just, you know, keep trying something. Look at what maybe didn't work with that. Look at what you could add in to make a difference. And then you get the success you want.
Yeah, really good advice. So be coachable. Talk about that a little bit. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I know a lot of entrepreneurs and they just have their own ideas on how things are. And I think that, you know, some of it, maybe that's part of what had them become the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it's
I'm going to do it my way.
Yep. Sometimes it shows up like my way or the highway kind of a thing. And, you know, there's just something to get that they don't have all the answers.
Uh-huh.
And being coachable just means you're willing to listen to someone else's advice and kind of try it on and see if it'll actually make a difference for you.
Okay, good. So out of your 20 years in business, how long have you been in that coachable stage?
I would say highly coachable for probably the last 5 years.
Okay.
So you can waste a lot of time trying to do it your way and, you know, a decade can go by.
No,
easy.
I agree with that 100%. Whenever I'm speaking to new or aspiring entrepreneurs, I always advise to find a coach and be open because you don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I would, if I could go back when I started, I would probably have hired a coach sooner on.
Me too.
All right. Let's talk about some networking. My goal with this podcast is to help alleviate fear and hesitation around that word networking. So can you share with our listeners your favorite or most successful networking story?
Yeah. So one of the vendors we use for partners for helping us find new team members, you know, recruiting firm, had a networking event, like a networking customer appreciation event. And I'm, you know, sometimes I go to those, sometimes I don't. And for whatever reason, I chose to go to that one. And, you know, just sort of grabbing my drink and grabbing my snacks and kind of trying to mill around and say hello. And, you know, and the I ran into somebody, a guy that owns a much larger IT company.
Okay.
And so I've had this thought in my head, like, why do we get new clients? And over the years, you know, certain things start to bubble up. Sometimes we get a new client because the company that's working with them is no longer a fit for them because they've gotten, as a company, they've gotten much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was a great client for them is now kind of a small client or maybe a client that doesn't fit their new vision mission.
Sure, yep.
And I've had that thought, but never really done anything with it. And I ran into a guy that owned a larger IT company. And after about 90 seconds of talking, he said, you know what? I've been running this business and we just focus on a different market right now. And I've got some really good clients that we had when we first started. I'd like to turn them over to you.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Right. So we actually got some great clients and the conversion rate on getting those kind of clients is way higher, like 80% for us.
Because it's a direct referral.
It's exact. And they actually set up the meeting to turn them over.
Wow. so you don't have to do anything.
Well, I had to show up.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then fulfill on, you know, our promise to those clients that they would keep referring people to us. But so, you know, that wouldn't have happened had I not gone out on the skinny branches to go to the networking event.
Sure. So when you went to this networking event, did you have any expectations?
Well, I had these random thoughts that it's going to be like uncomfortable and I'm going to have to talk to people and make small talk. And those were definitely right there. That was kind of it. So it was really kind of, for me, you know, kind of stepping outside my comfort zone. And that sometimes you just got to do that. That's part of the, I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to go meet people you don't know, sometimes it's in those places where you may not be comfortable.
And now it's a referral source that's converting 80% that you got from this without, and only because you attended this event.
Absolutely.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
So you've been in business for 20 years. You've obviously worked with a number of different organizations, and I know that you are part of some coaching and networking groups yourself.
Yeah.
What do you do to stay in front of and best nurture this wide community that you've built?
You know, I think we do pretty much the traditional things. So we do a regular newsletter. We send that out monthly. And you know, really, you know, we have some basic stats that we get from the newsletter service. And, you know, I think most of the time, I don't know if people really read it, but it kind of keeps them connected to us in some way.
Sure.
You know, I've been in conversations with clients and they'll ask me a question and I'll say, well, oh, do you recall that from our newsletter? And, oh, no, I saw your newsletter, but I don't remember that, you know. So there's some of that. And then sometimes that actually just opens up some new project.
Totally.
You know, they get the email with the newsletter. And they respond, not anything about the newsletter, but they're, hey, can you call me about this project I need?
Uh-huh.
So that's great. And then we use, you know, we're on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And then I use Buffer tied to just whatever I'm reading.
Yep.
So sometimes I'll use an app like Feedly and aggregate various news sources. And if I see something that's interesting to me, I'll click, post it, it'll show up. And, you know, it's a way of sometimes I'll run into people and it's interesting to see who actually reads, who doesn't.
Yep.
But really sometimes the best feedback I get, the most likes and clicks is I'll say just something like, looking forward to a great day at work.
Yeah.
And that actually gets way more traffic than some of the other things. So I think it's just, you know, that top of mind awareness for them that we're here. And usually that'll just spark something, either a new project or maybe a referral or just a conversation.
Yeah, it's just that reminder that you're there. So
yeah.
Sounds like you're primarily leveraging digital to nurture your network.
Yes.
But that's your space is technology. So.
Right. Yeah, we do that. And then we do some other things like webinars,
mm-hmm.
Educating people. And we do those at least monthly. So we invite people to that. We did some lunch and learns where people come to our office and get a free lunch, but we actually have much higher attendance when it's a webinar and a shorter amount.
Sure.
I think for our market space, you know, getting that, not everybody's got 2 or 3 hours to go leave the office.
Yep.
But they can, you know, put their headset on for 45 minutes and attend a webinar.
Sure. It's kind of something in the background. They're multitasking.
Probably.
To some degree,
no, they're
I would
completely
imagine.
Focused on me, Lori. That's what I want.
I'm sure there's some data out there that says how many people actually are 100% focused
right?
on the webinar.
Yeah, I don't think
but
it's high.
The buzzwords, you know, that you're saying that it's connecting with them. And obviously your brand is all over the place.
Yeah, and it's part of that better experience we want to have. Part of it's educating people and keeping things on their radar.
Sure. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
You know, there's a lot of tried and true strategies out there. So kind of in that vein of being coachable and not reinventing the wheel, just pick one of those strategies that are out there. You know, I'm sure either you have something to offer or there's websites or books on what to do and just pick one of those. You know, I always, one of my little maxims in life is what's the best diet book? It's the one you'll actually stick to.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same. And it's kind of like what's the best strategy? Just pick one that works for you. And, you know, you have to go outside your comfort zone a little bit. But I think it's one of those things you just really have to stick to.
Yeah.
And whether you're doing it once a month, once a week, just be consistent with it.
That is very important, is the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I find that a lot of people will, you know, do a couple things and then they disappear for a year and then try to reengage their network. And it's a little harder to reengage the network as opposed to consistently nurturing that network.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I don't know if that's still a fact or a myth or whatever, but they talk about the number of times you actually have to touch somebody before they'll actually hear you or you get your message. What is it, seven?
Seven.
So if that's true, you know, you got to at least go like 7 months in a row or do
seven,
something.
Seven and, touches.
Yeah. So that idea of just kind of going one and done doesn't work.
I agree. I agree with that. Although in your instance, the story you shared, that worked out for you.
It did. Yeah. But then it got me to go to others. Like, I'm like, oh, I got results.
Yeah. Okay.
There was some positive feedback in there.
It's like winning the lottery and the first time you buy a lottery ticket, right?
Well, that wasn't my first networking
event,
right?
Okay, well, that's
good. So that was the other thing.
So you know you put the time in eventually. It happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So you talked a lot about digital networking as far as how you stay in front of your network with Tobin's solutions. And then traditional obviously generated this fantastic opportunity for you. Which one do you find more value in, digital or traditional networking?
The traditional, ultimately. And I think it's just part of that conversation. There's such a high trust factor when you turn over IT to somebody. You know, we get to know all the passwords and we get to have opportunity to see things. And I think it's one of those things like, you know, giving somebody your health or giving somebody your wealth and giving someone your IT is right up there in terms of that. So there's a lot of trust around that. And where some of that can be developed through traditional digital media, I think the face-to-face conversation to really see what people are dealing with and read their body language and kind of get the question behind their question and all of that is really important because sometimes it's uncomfortable for people.
Yes, it can, especially in the technology space.
Yeah.
Security and trust are so important.
And we have clients we've had for 10 years, you know, or more. So when you've got someone like that, we're hoping that next client's going to be that. And that's, you know, they may find us through a blog post or something. It may open up the conversation, but ultimately it's got to be that good conversation to give them the confidence that we can do.
Yeah, makes sense.
Meet their expectations.
All right, Jeremy, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I would, well, I think the obvious answer is invest more in the companies that we support now. Put a few $1,000 in Apple and Microsoft and stuff back then. That might be a different world for me right now. And, you know, it is like some of the things I'm talking about already, like being coachable, like, if I would have that back then, be coachable, don't take life so seriously, you know, have some fun with things and, just really stop trying to do it all on your own. Engage other people, build a team, and that'll actually make the difference.
That is so important, and it's not. It's engaging others is building your network.
Yeah,
and people want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to help others. It is a reciprocity. It goes both ways for sure.
Yeah.
We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it in the sixth degree?
You know, at first when I thought about this question, it was like, who's dead that I'd want to talk to? I'm like, well, that's not possible with 6 degrees of separation. So then I got clear that it was someone alive, and I'm like, well, who would it be? And one of the shows I really like is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yep.
I would love to be on that show. I don't know how funny I am, but just to have a conversation with him would be terrific. And, you know, how I would do that, I don't know. I'd probably start with social media, you know, look for him, see if he's on LinkedIn. Try an email, follow him on Twitter, you know, do those kinds of things to see if I can say or do something that would, you know, capture his attention.
All right. Well, we'll tag him on social media here and see if that makes anything happen.
Cool. Do you know him?
No,
I'll start
don't.
There. That's my first action.
Well, it doesn't hurt to ask. I don't.
Okay.
I'm very familiar with his work. All right, so I know education is a big component of you and your life values, personally and professionally.
Oh.
So what book are you reading right now?
I just started, it's called The Speed of Trust, and it's by Stephen Covey. I don't know if it goes by Stephen Covey Jr. It's Stephen Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's his son.
Yep.
And it's really fantastic because like I mentioned before, in terms of networking and those face-to-face conversations, it really is about building that trust.
Sure.
And they talk about just the trust is kind of the currency of the day right now. And,
yep.
you know, when you can see how it shows up and people's credibility and people are immediately looking at online reviews, and there's so many places where that is, and it's all in the space of whether people trust you or not.
Sure.
And the faster someone trusts you, the faster it is that some relationship develops and may lead to, you know, more business.
Yeah, he's actually speaking in Madison.
Oh, really?
Soon. I'm attending this event. I'll send you that information.
Oh, great.
I don't have the
Look
details.
Look at that, we networked.
I know, right?
That's awesome. Yeah. So I
don't have the information in front of me, but I know I just signed up to attend an event in Madison where he's speaking.
Oh,
and I think
excellent.
It's on this book.
Oh, fantastic.
So that, wow.
Want a ride share?
Possibly. Yeah, I know it's coming up in a couple of weeks. I don't know exactly what the date is off the top of my head.
Cool.
But
thanks.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. When I saw that he's speaking, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm there. Because I love what, you know, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is probably one of my top 10 favorite business books of all time.
Yeah.
And I've starting to follow his son a little bit online and what he's been posting. And it sounds like he's got the same mentality and philosophies that his father did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really interested in following what he's doing.
Yeah. And in the book, Seven Habits, there's a story about the son that's like the clean and green. That's him.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, this is good conversation here. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just keep at it. You know, just don't give up. Never give up. That's really it. It's pretty straightforward. And just, you know, if you're stuck, then go seek the advice of a professional so you can get some new ideas and some new actions to take.
Yeah. Sounds like, you know, consistency and then the coachability.
Yeah.
Leverage your resources to help make you a better person.
Absolutely.
Jeremy, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Email jeremy.cherney@tobinsolutions.com.
All right. And we will include that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, Laurie. This was really fun.
I'm glad to hear it. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Jeremy for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to laurie@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.